Knowing God means more than just knowing about God. Here's Skip Heitzig to explain the difference.
There's plenty of evidence of God, and you can examine all of that evidence, but it's still going to require a level of faith on your part. And when I talk about faith, it's more than mere acknowledgement. See, it's one thing to go, yes, I have all of the adequate information, and I acknowledge that there is a God who exists somewhere out there, a cosmic force. That's not faith. Biblical faith is more than an acknowledgement or a mental assent. Look at it more like a receiving of the cure. Okay? Biblical faith is when you bet your eternal life on Jesus Christ.
Make the connection.
There's a song in the classic musical, The Sound of Music, that should really epitomize the life of a Christian. The song says, getting to know you, getting to know all about you. And that's the privilege that God has given all of us through Jesus Christ. He has given us the opportunity to get to know Him, to know all about Him, if we choose to do so. And today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig talks about what it means to get to know God. But before we look at that, we have something else we'd like you to look at that reveals what's going on in our culture that is working against the knowledge of the one true God. And here's Skip to share more about that.
Psychics, vampires, mediums, and witches. These are the heroes that star in so many TV shows and movies these days. Hi, this is Skip Heitzig, and I'd like to encourage you to discover the truth of what happens when a culture's obsession with the occult goes too far. In this month's exclusive offer from The Connection, here's all the details.
The American culture is undergoing some very disturbing shifts in values. Listen to Steve Russo.
We've become so desensitized to violence and rudeness and wickedness, and it's all about what I can get for me. It's like we don't care. It's like there are no moral absolutes anymore.
How has the media's obsession with the occult contributed to this shift? In Steve Russo's book, Fear No Evil, learn how a fascination with movements like Wicca and overindulgence in all sorts of media is having a damaging effect on today's youth.
I've heard too many times kids and parents even telling me, well, you know, Twilight is about good vampires. He's a good vampire because he's a good-looking guy, and this is really a romance. Again, we have lost the concept of a holy God, a pure God, and we've totally, almost totally abandoned, in many cases, the significance of the blood of Christ.
Order Fear No Evil by Steve Russo for just $15 when you contact The Connection at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Our society, and especially our young people, are being misled by interest in the wrong kind of spiritualism. With Halloween right around the corner, it's time for the church to do something about it.
Halloween it's not going to go away. There are a couple different ways to approach it. One is completely ignore it and have nothing to do with it, and I think that's everybody has that the right to make that decision. I think it's foolish because it's a great opportunity to do evangelism, and that's the heart of the evangelist coming out of me.
Do you know someone fascinated with vampires? Vampires, Wicca, and so-called nice witches? Well, they need to read Fear No Evil by Steve Russo. Order today for just $15. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
Well, it's important to know those elements in our society that are undermining belief in the one true God. You can find out more about Steve Russo's book at our website, connectionradio.org, or by calling us at 1-800-922-1888. And yes, as outlandish as it may seem, we can actually get to know God. How do we know that's true? More importantly, how can we actually do that? And as the song says, get to know all about Him. Well, stay with us here on The Connection to find out.
And make the connection.
open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's join Skip Heitzig as he shares more about the fact that we can actually know God.
Listen to the words of A Struggler, another great book that I found, but written by Tim Stafford. He talks about this struggle. He says, "I did not lack for intellectual satisfaction or for demonstration of God's power. I saw him changing lives. On a man-to-man level, Christianity was wonderful. It was the man-to-God level that I felt shaky about. I wanted more. I have come to realize since that I was not alone in my longing. But whenever the conversation moves to the subject of knowing God, listeners grow suddenly quiet and attentive. For a long time, I thought this was a disapproving silence. I know now that it's the silence that falls on a room of hungry people whenever someone talks of food." How do you have a personal relationship with God? Now just think about that. How can you have a personal relationship with the ultimate person, the unique one? There's no one like him. He is invisible. How do you have a personal relationship with him? We'll discover how. We'll discover how, as I said, his personality crowds the world around us. If the Bible carries one repeated message, it's the message that God wants to be known. Wasn't that the cry of Paul's heart? After 30 years of ministry and life and sacrifice, even the great apostle, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. He prayed that. So the two great realities: there is a God, he exists, and God is personal, he rewards. There's two great requirements that follow in the same text. The first requirement is faith. You'll notice in verse 6, faith is spoken about or alluded to three times. "But without faith," that's the first one, "it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe," that's the second time, "that he is," that he exists, "and that," or that is believe that, that's the third time, "that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Okay, belief is absolutely essential. In your spiritual journey, at some point, it's going to require an act of faith. And here's why. Because we are unable to see God, at least for now. We are unable to hear his voice audibly like you're hearing my voice right now, for now. And because of that, as Paul said, we live by faith and not by sight. Now, there'll come a time when you don't need faith any longer. You'll be in heaven. You don't need to place your trust in God. You're there with him. But until then, we live in that realm. We live by faith and not by sight. So there's plenty of evidence of God, and you can examine all of that evidence, but it's still going to require a level of faith on your part. And when I talk about faith, it's more than mere acknowledgement. See, it's one thing to go, "Yes, I have all of the adequate information, and I acknowledge that there is a God who exists somewhere out there, a cosmic force." That's not faith. Biblical faith is more than an acknowledgement or a mental assent. Look at it more like a receiving of the cure. Okay? Biblical faith is when you bet your eternal life on Jesus Christ. I'll give you an example. There was a doctor, skeptical physician, who was attending to a patient. She was a very strong, ardent believer in Christ. And the doctor was very honest. It was a downtime, and he just sort of poured out his heart. He goes, "You know, I don't get the whole faith thing. I believe in God, and I guess I believe in Jesus. I have no knowledge that I have a whole lot of doubts, but something is missing. Something's wrong. What's the matter?" She said this, "Doctor, a week ago, I believed in you as a very skillful doctor. I believed if I got sick, you'd help me. But 2 days ago, I let you cut into me and give me some medicine that I didn't quite understand, but I trusted in you." You see the difference? It's not the kind of faith that there is a doctor who can cure me. This is the kind of faith that receives the cure, takes the remedy. That's active faith. So whenever we deal with God and whenever we examine information about God or the evidence for God, there comes a point when we must activate by faith And that's what pleases God. Remember when the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, what must we do to work the works of God?" Remember what he said? He said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." That's the gateway. That's the door. You enter into that door and you take that step of faith and you live in that realm. Something else about this. This is not just initial belief. It is ongoing process of belief. There will be many acts of faith that will be required of you as a Christian. Our faith is progressive. It's not a one time, I prayed to receive Christ one time, that was my faith. Your faith will be required at different stages. And here's why. Because I bet there's a few things about God that you don't know yet. Would that be an understatement? Because I'll say in my own life, there's a whole lot of stuff I'm still discovering and learning about God. Wonderful every time I do. So I bet you that God is still so vast. There's a lot of information and a lot of things about God that are still not discovered by you yet. However, once you discover them in this process, this spiritual journey, once you are enlightened by them, that will require an act of faith. Example. I've known people who believe that there's a God, but he's this nice, smiling God who lets you do anything you want to do. And then they discover in the Bible that God hates sin and God will judge sin and God will destroy the world. Whoa, it's not a picture they saw before. They got to deal with that now. Are they going to take that step of faith and believe that, or are they going to turn it away? So here's the deal. It's important in this discovery, as we discover the one true God as revealed here in Scripture, that we take ongoing acts and steps of faith. And when we do, our view of him will change, I hope, or be fortified. There's a great book. I'm kind of mentioning a few of my favorite books, but there's a great book. I'll tell you the title in a minute. Cool title. It was written by a Bible scholar translator named J.B. Phillips. Here's the name of the book, Your God is Too Small. And in that book, he describes the different gods that people make up that they want to believe in. For example, there's the grand old man God. This is the grandfatherly, white-haired, indulgent God who smiles down on everyone and winks at their adultery, their cheating, their stealing, etc. I know a lot of people who have that God. Then there's the resident policeman God, whose primary job it is to make us feel uncomfortable and life unenjoyable. You know, God's always mad. He's always looking for something I do wrong. They go, ha, see, there's a lot of people who have that God. Then third, there's the managing director God. And this is the God of the deists. He designed and created the universe, but now he stands back to watch the show. He's uninvolved. He's not personal. He's very distant and very aloof. I know a lot of people who believe in that God. Number four, there's the God in a box God. This is the private, exclusive, personal, sectarian God. Well, my God is this way. Your God may be different. All of these are inadequate views of God. They're wrong views of God. It's no different than the boy in class drawing a picture saying, they're going to know what God looks like in just a minute. So as we discover the biography of God, we're going to change. God can be known. And when we know him, it's by the gateway of believing in him, taking a reasonable step, as we'll see, not a leap in the dark, a reasonable step of faith. And when we do that, that will please God and we'll be rewarded for it. Which takes us to the second great responsibility, and that is to know God requires pursuit. Let's take one final look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and notice this, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know what that tells me? That tells me that God wants to be pursued. And isn't that true of any relationship? Let's say you're married, or let's say you're dating somebody. Both in that relationship want to know that the other wants them around. You know, what if one of you said, well, I acknowledge that she exists? That's not enough. She wants you to know that you want her to be around. She wants you to pursue her, and he wants you to pursue him. Any healthy relationship will require that mutual pursuit. And both the Old Testament and the New Testament tell us not only can God be found, but that God loves to be sought after. Here's a sampling of verses from the Bible. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. David said to his son Solomon, "If you seek him, he will be found by you. If you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." Psalm 58, verse 11. "There is truly a reward for those who live for God." Jeremiah 29, 13. "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Luke 11, verse 10. Jesus said, "For everyone who asks, receives. And whoever seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." James chapter 4, verse 8. "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." See, in each of these, there's this seeking on behalf of the human and the response of God. Now, I want to just push the pause button for a moment, because you need to understand that God made the first move. It's not that God hides himself and says, "Okay, let's have a game of hide and seek. See if you can find me." That's not how it works. God initialized it all. 1 John chapter 4, "We love him because he first loved us." He made the first move. He revealed himself in a number of ways, as we'll see the next couple of weeks. That demands a response. But in a healthy relationship, there's a mutual pursuit. "God, I want to be with you. Lord, I want to know you." We seek after him. Remember Jesus in the Beatitudes said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be filled." He didn't say, "Blessed are those who casually snack after righteousness." There's a big difference between a casual snack and hunger and thirst. It's the hunger and thirst ones who are the ones who are filled. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So, two great realities. There is a God, and that God is a personal God. He's able to interact with his created ones. And the two great responsibilities requires an act of faith, not one, but several, all the way through that act of faith, that growing faith, not a passive one. And you pursue God because a relationship is developed. And when you do that, you please him in as much as all of these in Hebrews 11 did. So I want to close with this question. Here it is. What is your chief pursuit in life? I'll ask it a different way. What's your master passion? What are you passionate about? Or what do you want more than anything else in life? And only you can answer that question. And I ask you to answer it in your own heart very honestly. What do you want more than anything else in life? I'll tell you how most people answer this. This I know because poll after poll after poll, everyone from Barna to Gallup has asked people this question. You know what their answer is? "You know what I want most out of life? To be happy." To be happy, and we're guaranteed that in our Constitution, right? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. "I want to be happy," they say. And so they search for happiness in all the wrong places. "If I have this relationship, I'll be happy." And they are for a while. "If I have this status and education, I'll be happy." And they might be for a while. "If I have this much money, I'll be happy." And they do everything, but they leave out the God component. And they're unhappy. Listen to the words of one psychologist after years of clinical research. He writes, "About one-third of my cases are suffering from no clinically definable neurosis, but from the senselessness and emptiness of their own lives. This can be described as the general neurosis of our age." Close quote. I read a story about a young man who left his hometown and traveled out to Hollyweird. And he had three goals, he said, as a young man that he wanted to have fulfilled in his life. You want to know what they are? Even if you don't, I'll tell you. Number one, he wanted to see his name in lights. That was his first goal. "I want to see my name in lights." Goal number two, he wanted a Rolls Royce. Goal number three, he wanted to marry a beauty contest winner. He was able to achieve all three goals before he turned 30. And he stated when he got them all, he's still miserable. You know why? He said, I've run out of goals. So what am I going to do for the rest of my life? Now compare that, what that psychologist said, with what you and I just read. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know what one of those rewards is? You're satisfied. It's a sense of satisfaction. Now follow the thinking here and I'll sum it up. The more you do as you please, the more you do as you please, the less you are pleased with what you do. The more you do what pleases him, the more pleasure he will give you in that pursuit. You live for yourself, you'll never find satisfaction. If it's all about you, you'll never find satisfaction. But if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. And even in the worst of times, there's a deep sense of satisfaction. As Augustine said, we are restless until we find our rest in you. Are you seeking the Lord? Is that your pursuit, your passion? Because if it is, he will lavishly reward you. And you might be saying, well, I've never found God. Maybe you're not looking for him. Like the thief and the policeman. The thief goes, I never found a policeman. It's because every time you hear a siren, you run the other direction. Well, know this. God has been pursuing you and seeking for you because you're the lost one. But God also wants to be pursued and sought after because he wants a relationship with you. The doorway is faith, belief. I have a hunch that there's a few people here who are honest enough to admit their restlessness and their desire, especially in this economic downturn. You've come to a place where you think there's got to be a lot more to life than everything I've saved up for and banked on, quite literally. What purpose is there? Why am I here? Is there a God? Does he exist? Can I know him? I encourage you, you can.
You know, it may be hard to understand and may even seem unbelievable at times, but the fact is that God wants us to know him. In fact, he created us to know him. I know that may sound too good to be true, but it is. Would you like to know him? You can, and it can all start with an introduction through Jesus Christ. And if you'd like to learn more about how that works, please give us a call at 1-800-922-1888. And that's going to wrap things up for today. But before we get going, you can be a part of a global team that's telling people just how much God wants to know them. Here's how.
The Central American nation of Belize has the second largest offshore reef in the world and most extensive cave system in all of Central America. It also has 127 offshore keys, numerous rivers for rafting and kayaking, wildlife reserves, and of course, miles of gorgeous Caribbean beaches. All of these factors and more draw tourists and thrill-seeking adventurers from all over the globe. But these thrills are short-term. The ultimate joy in life is to know eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is the mission of Lighthouse Christian Radio Broadcasting from San Pedro and also heard in Belize City. It is here that The Connection and other Bible-based programs are bringing hope and truth about the real paradise of heaven.
The Connection has Lighthouse Christian Radio. They have a huge impact on the community out there. Everybody knows who that is, and they give away those free radios where it only tunes into the one radio station, and it's a solar power. So those are, kids are just dying to get their hands on those.
You can help the ministry of The Connection reach the people of Belize and other nations around the world with a gospel as a member of the Global Connectors. It's just $25 a month to be a member, and when you sign up, we'll also send you a new teaching each month. Help us share the good news of God's love with people all over the world as a member of the Global Connectors. It's just $25 a month, but that small amount may make an eternal difference. Join the Global Connectors today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
And you can also contact us for a copy of today's teaching, which is available for just $6, including shipping. Just call 1-800-922-1888. Or visit connectionradio.org. Of course, anything extra you can share is much appreciated as we continue to bring you these daily broadcasts and take them to new areas all around the world. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And thank you for your support of this ministry.
And make the connection, not the
us again next time as we explore the clues God has given us for His existence. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.